with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. U.S. stocks rallied on Wednesday, but are still on track to end the year with losses. Still, it was a big day for the Dow. The blue-chip index rose 1,086 points. The first day the Dow rose more than 1,000 points in a single session. Wall Street Journal reporter Jessica Menton.
This may have been a huge day of gains, but we're still a bit behind the curve of the amount of losses that we've had this quarter as well as this month. We were on our way to having the worst December on record, just to put that into perspective. So in the words of another trader I spoke with, this might take some of the salt out of the wounds, but the wounds are still there, and we're going to have to see if this can maintain through the rest of the month.
The Dow and the S&P 500 were up 5% at the end of trading on Wednesday. The NASDAQ was up 5.8%. Coming up, we'll have a conversation about the role of computerized trading with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Levy.
One theory is that it might amplify moves that are already happening.
But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Wing, a subsidiary of Google parent Alphabet, is conducting advanced drone delivery tests around the capital of Australia. The Wall Street Journal's video team spoke to residents who were divided over the drones. Users like Catherine Strickland say the drones make life easier.
With a young family and young kids, for me to just go and get a coffee to load three children in a car is really hard.
But others like Jane Gillespie say the noise is a real problem.
It's like an F1 Formula racing car. It's absolutely irritating.
A spokesman for Wing says the company is working on quieter drones. For more on the test deliveries and to see video, head to our website, WSJ.com. Early data from MasterCard finds U.S. holiday retail sales are the strongest they've been in years. MasterCard's Spending Pulse, which tracks online and in-store spending, found U.S. retail sales rose 5.1% between November 1st and December 24th compared to last year. But there were some weak spots. MasterCard found sales at department stores fell 1.3% amid store closings. Overall, brick-and-mortar sales rose 3.3%. And some department stores are trying new tacks to draw shoppers in as their traditional model loses business to online, fast fashion, and off-price retailers. Some of the methods they're trying include shrinking their floor space, restocking fresh items more quickly, and even adding new amenities like art galleries and bakeries. The U.S. Census Bureau says department stores' share of retail sales has declined from more than 5.5% in 1998 to just over 1.5% at the end of last year. Still to come, more on the herd-like behavior of computerized trading. How much does the rise of computerized trading have to do with recent market turbulence? According to some traders and investors, it can amplify drops across markets. They say computerized traders are accelerating a herd-like mentality that can move incredibly quickly. Joining us now via Skype with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Levy. Rachel, it's hard to overstate the influence of computerized trading, but can you give us a sense of how much it's grown in recent years?
Sure. So one expert we spoke to estimates that it now encompasses about 85% of all trading that goes on currently, which is an increase from previous years. We also have other data that shows that quantitative hedge funds, which are funds that rely on computer models rather than sort of human research and intuition, account for about 29% of trading in the stock market. And that is a share that's more than doubled since 2013.
That's a lot. And your piece is not to say that there haven't been significant other factors that have roiled markets this year. But what did traders and investors have to say about how computerized trading may change certain trends or amplify them?
So one theory is that it might amplify moves that are already happening. So the same can be said for when the market was going up, potentially that, you know, didn't seem to be a problem there. But on the way down, it could potentially amplify and make those moves go more quickly and violently. That's according to some of the people we spoke with.
Why are we seeing steeper, less measured moves now?
Well, I mean, it may have happened also during the bull market, to be clear. But one reason why people think that this dynamic might have changed now on the way down is that many of the trading models use momentum as an input. So essentially, when markets go down, they're programmed to sell. And if prices drop, many are programmed to sell even more.
Rachel, there were obviously many red flags that factored into this as well, as you note in the article.
Yeah, and to be clear, I mean, we're not saying that these electronic or automated or algorithmic traders, you know, triggered the decline, but they certainly looked at some of these red signals in the second half of the year. Some of those factors included a slowdown in growth in the economies of Japan, China, and in Europe, and suggestions that the U.S. might be moderating a little bit too. The Fed also, which is changing its policies, they've been pushing up interest rates above the rate of inflation for the first time in a decade. That happened in September. And there's also been a decline in the growth of corporate profits. So with that, in addition to erratic politics in large parts of the world, including our own country, these are things that we're also factoring in.
Rachel, also you mentioned the role of liquidity here.
We do. We mentioned in the story that these bouts of automated selling are coming in a market that we've determined is ill-prepared for it. And one measure of that is liquidity, which is how easy it is for buyers to find assets to buy and sellers to find people who they can sell to. So essentially, there are signs of diminishing liquidity across all kinds of markets. One of the examples that we cite is a number of contracts available to buy or sell in S&P futures has dwindled. I think Goldman Sachs had a report that said dropped to about 70% over the past year alone.
Rachel, what do you think we can expect as we look forward to 2019? It doesn't seem like computerized trading is going to be going away.
No, I mean, if anything, it's something that we have covered over the years. I know in at the journal, I do think it is a fairly new trend in terms of its scale. You know, quantitative investing and trading sort of always existed to some extent, but it's grown to be a larger share, it seems. And this does seem to be a new normal for how the markets may be influenced by this type of trading.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Levy joining us via Skype. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.